Good morning and shalom. We have come for a long, long journey in understanding the scriptures and the word that is written and the word that is spoken. We have had an opportunity to go through many Bible books, verse by verse, book by book. And what a joy it is, even as we continue to learn through the book of First Peter on how to live a life that is victorious in such a world. We know that we are living in a pagan world. A world that does not believe in God. We have had a time to see and to experience many people turn away from godly living. We have seen people who used to believe in God turn pagan again. The Church of Jesus Christ has a big challenge today to live godly lives in these pagan societies. First Peter chapter number 2 from verses 11 to 25 would be a guiding light, would be very instrumental to help us in how to grow in grace and how we can be able to use the grace to enable us to live victoriously in those hostile zones. We will discover in this portion that God expects us to use His grace. The grace of God is God's riches at Christ's expenses. We use the grace of God is unmerited favor. The grace of God is the strength that God provides. The grace of God means God alone, without any of our efforts. But we need to plug or to connect to this grace so that this grace will help us to grow strong in our faith. This grace will help us to overcome limitations in our faith. This grace will help us to take advantage of the opportunities that God provides to make the people to see the kingdom of God. Our purpose is to live as a light in the midst of the dark world. Our being here on earth is not an accident. We are supposed to be an example to the people who live here on earth. That is an opportunity to glorify God. It's an opportunity to make everybody come to Jesus Christ. And we have also to use the grace of God to thrive in the time of threats. So these verses that we have here, this First Peter chapter 2, will be able to help us or help or encourage and instruct the minority Gentile believe background believers to live godly lives in the majority pagan society. And so these questions, it would be good that the grace answer us how to build on our strength, how to overcome our limitations in faith, and how to take advantage of the opportunity and how to thrive in hostile zones. By and large, we discovered that the book of First Peter was actually speaking on how to overcome the hostility that comes as a result of one believing in Jesus Christ. And we discovered that God would help us to stand firm in His grace. And on that pedestal of grace, on that foundation of grace, we discovered that we can have security, or we can be secure, or grace that would help us to have security here on earth. We also discover that we not only have security here on earth, that we will not be lost, that we belong to God, that we are not an accident here, but it will help us to live sober lives. Sober lives, we discovered and said, it will help us to look at where we came from, where we are, and where we are going. Not only having security and having soberness in life, we also discover that we'll be able to submit to every authority with that grace. It's not easy to submit to the grace or to submit to the authorities of people who do not believe in God. Sometimes we feel like we'd want to take weapons like the rest of the world to fight, but the grace of God will always be sufficient. Once we depend on the grace is able to help us, or to help us grow and to fight for us. That is the amazing grace that the singer sang and said, how great it was. It helped such wretched people like us. We were not once a people, but that grace has made us to be a people. So we can submit. And in this particular session, we'll also be able to see how the grace help us to submit to four groups that are not easy to submit if God was not there, if grace was not there. So Peter, help us to help us to see how we can be able to submit to the authorities of the day. Now, these groups that we want to mention here want to discover that it's only through grace that can help us submit to. Number one is that you cannot be able to submit to the hostile government. And especially like the one Peter wrote about, the one that was just about to execute or to kill Peter. The grace of God was able to help Peter to submit to that government. It was a hostile government, unbelieving government, but Peter calls those minority believers to submit to them. That is through the grace. Number two is for the slaves. Slaves cannot be able to submit to their masters, especially those ungodly masters, and many of them were, because slaves are seen as not people, but as subjects. They were seen as things. Killing a slave was not anything in those days. And for a slave who have given their life to Christ, for them to be able to submit to their masters, it took the grace of God. So number three, we are talking about women who are supposed to submit to their hostile husbands, husbands who do not believe in God, but their wives had already submitted to God or believed in God. How did they submit and believed in God? And likewise, even the husbands. Peter would also talk about how husbands were supposed to submit to their wives by taking them as equal partners. It is not easy for a husband of the time to be able to accommodate a woman those days as an equal partner in the sharer of grace. And finally, how members were supposed to submit to each other in that context of hostility. It's you see, sometimes people can even submit to other people, but submitting to the believers themselves. And we have seen it even today that is very difficult for people to submit to spiritual authorities. And especially because they take the grace of God in vain. And they think that grace is a license to do evil. And that's why we have had very high-headed people today in the church more than any other places. So submitting to one another, that is it. And finally, to submit to the neighbors that were hostile around about you. So Peter is talking about that the grace would help us to submit to them. And in the next session, we'll be looking at how the grace of God would help those that are going through persecution, and the grace of God will help to serve with the encouragement of God. So Peter, we can just then go through the scriptures, just to study the scriptures to confirm what we have just said. Peter said in verse 11, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls." See here, Peter is now talking about how the grace of God can help, also help us to keep away from worldly desires. Now, the greatest opposition to the submission or to anything is the desires of our hearts. Yes, we have talked about submitting to the authorities and husbands and wives and to the slaves, but the greatest of it all comes from the desires, the worldly desires, keeping away from worldly desires. But Peter says we are temporal residents and we are also foreigners. These are two words that Peter has used, and he considered the people he was writing to take themselves, to have a perspective that they are resident, they are temporal resident, and they're foreigners. But they were also to keep away from those worldly desires. Why? Those worldly desires are the ones that wage war against your very souls. You know, so the greatest battle that people of God have is the worldly desires, those lustful desires, the love of the world. So Peter says it's only the grace of God that can help us to do that. So he says, but be careful to live proper among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they allow, they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give glory and honor to God when he judges the world. So you see, we are here to help the world glorify God. Not what we tell them, but majorly what we do. They say that we communicate to our unbelieving neighbors, or we communicate to our neighbors or to the other person through speaking. 7% psychology tells us that basically 7 to 10% is what we say, but 90 to 93% is what we do. So Peter is saying, do it. Be a model. Let them see what you are doing and they glorify God. So, and then Peter went on and in the writing now, which we have already covered, for the Lord's sake. No, you see, we are not submitting for any other sake. For the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority. So when we submit to the authorities, evil authorities, we are saying, Lord, we are doing it for you, not for them. They are not people to be submitted to. But for the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as head of state, all the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you, for you are free. Yet you are God's slave. For you are free, yes, yet you are God's slave. Do not use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Here we are, what you've said, let's not use the grace or the freedom to do evil. Yes, we are free, but we are God's prisoners. And here we have talked about we are captives of God. Paul would talk about himself being a slave of God, a term that we will be able to deal with many times when you come to next year, about captive of hope. So we are God's captive. But that's not use of freedom as an excuse to do evil. We need to respect everyone. We need to love the family of believers. We need to fear God and to respect the King. Slaves, you who are slaves must submit to your masters with all respect. Do what they tell you, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are cruel. For God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example, and you must follow his footsteps. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate, even when he was insulted, nor threatened revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carries our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live to what is right. By his wounds you are healed. Once you are like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to a shepherd, the guardian of your souls. Father, help us and give us the grace to turn to you as the guardian of our soul in the days we are having, by the grace of God.